It is 9:02 on 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com anywhere. I'm Tony Savino. Thursday morning means it's time for Spotlight on Medicine. Topic this morning on Spotlight, meditation and health. My guest is Greenwich Hospital internist Dr. Chawla Vora. Her office at 15 Valley Drive, Suite 202 in Greenwich. And Dr. Vora went to medical school at Pramukhaswamy. I knew, you know, I got it right off the air, but Pramukhaswamy Medical College, internship at the University of Connecticut Affiliated Hospitals. I can say that. Residency there as well. Also a fellowship at UConn. And Dr. Vora, good morning. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Tony.
All right. Fantastic. All right. We're talking meditation and health. To start, tell us a little bit about your practice as an internist and how and why you became interested in meditation.
Okay. So I'm part of Yale UN Health Network, Northeast Medical Group, and Greenwich Hospital. And I practice in the purview of modern medicine, internal medicine. So, yes, I am the woman who will tell you you need a colonoscopy. There is no escape at 50. And I have special interest in mindfulness, meditation, power of plant-based diet, and lifestyle changes. So if somebody comes in with a blood pressure of 200, I'm not going to say go and sit and chant. I'm first going to treat you with all the modern medications that are available. But at the same time, I'll spend time to figure out if I can experience your energy to see, you know, what else can we do from lifestyle point of view. Because, you know, honestly, we are, as humans, we are not just matters. We are also energy. So it's interesting to see the patient as a whole, not just as a disease condition. Now, why I think it's important? Because 7 out of 10 admissions are because of lifestyle diseases. And we are excellent at, you know, sick care. We have made so much progress and, you know, so much can be done this day and age. But we are not really good at healthcare. And health is not necessarily just an absence of disease. It's present of wellness. So my interest is in promoting this and, you know, going about helping people do this. And how did I personally get into it? I think I'm one of those lucky ones who just stumbled into it. 5 years into practice, this is my 14th year of practicing. And 5 years into it, I was so burnt out. But once I got the gift of meditation, I realized that doing what I do is not a trade. It's actually a calling where I can practice both my heart and my mind. So I feel so happy and privileged to be doing what I do.
So literally, it's a case of Dr. Heal Thyself.
Absolutely.
Where you were stressed out and you used meditation and you said, hey, I'm going to bring this to other people.
Absolutely. And I think that there is a huge data on physician burnout and wellness. You can't give if you are yourself not filled or able to do that. So it's very important that all of us practice it.
Mm-hmm. We hear the term mindfulness.
Yes.
Is that the same as meditation? And so, what are they?
So let me give you this example. So suppose you are riding a car. To keep it in a smooth, even motion for the car, you push the pedal, and then sometimes you take the foot off the pedal. Mindfulness and meditation are like that. So mindfulness is more paying attention in a particular way, on a purpose, in the present moment, and non-judgmentally. So it is essentially putting your foot on the pedal. You're actively trying to concentrate on the present moment. Whereas meditation is like taking the foot off the pedal. You're trying to let go of things, unlearn, declutter, and really connect to a higher level of consciousness. So if I say it simply, mindfulness is focusing on something, whereas meditation is dissolving on nothing.
Okay.
So that's a basic difference. And they work synergistically. So,
mm-hmm. Currently, your example, so mindfulness would be that you're focusing on the show and what we're talking about here.
Yes.
And then meditation would be what?
Meditation would be, I'm also keeping a check on my breathing right now to make sure that I do a good job and I do promote or give information that's valid to everyone.
Okay. All right. Now, what are some of the scientifically proven health benefits of meditation?
So, you know, it reduces the heart rate, it reduces the blood pressure, reduces the inflammation, it reverses the aging. I mean, people like old yogis and stuff, they never age, apparently. But there are scientific evidence for that as well. Like there's something called telomeres, which are the caps on the end of chromosomes, and they decrease with age. They also decrease with depression and other mental health illnesses. And meditation actually helps prevent that. So there is a benefit of that. Reduction of blood pressure, I mentioned. Reversal of poor brain function reduces depression, anxiety, helps with insomnia. There's a term called neuroplasticity, and what it means is that your brain reorganizes physically and functionally in response to the environment, so or your emotions. So if you practice meditation, they actually say that you can see the difference in the neural pathways of the brain. Now, this term neuroplasticity has been around since 1800s, but now we can actually see it with functional MRIs. So they did a study where they would put a bunch of people who did meditation every day for 6 weeks, and then the others who didn't, and they did functional MRIs, and they actually saw the change in neural pathways. Some part of the brains were actually thickened, which helps better manage our emotions, so or give us resilience, increase productivity, think outside the box. So now we actually can see it. That's why at one point meditation was thought as some sort of a religious connotation, but now it is more about science. It actually has valid principles and very verifiable results to it. So it's no longer one of those mumbo jumbos. It's something that can be applied to regular people.
It's interesting you're talking neuroplasticity, because I was thinking about kind of the defracking, if you want to use a computer term, of the brain. But they say those benefits come about through sleep also, that happens. So what's the connection then with sleep and meditation, or is there one?
So meditation does help improve the quality of sleep, because sleep goes through several phases, and you will have much more deeper sleep. For the studies show that meditation actually improves it significantly. So it's much more restful. Not only sleep, even if you do 10 minutes of meditation during the daytime, you feel like you have spent an hour doing it. You forget that it was only 10 minutes. The whole sense of time just changes when you actually do it. Mm-hmm. So I find that so fascinating, and this is coming from personal experiences. I'm not trying to tell you something that I've not experienced it myself.
Right. Okay, we're going to take a break and come back, and we're going to talk about an event that Dr. Vora has coming up next week at Greenwich Hospital on meditation and health, kind of an expansion of what we're talking about here, and maybe she'll teach us how to meditate a little bit. So let's stay with us here on Spotlight on Medicine here on 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com anywhere.
Want an easy way to find a great doctor? Got a health issue you'd like to research? Looking for ways to be healthier and better informed about personal wellness? You'll find all this and more at the Greenwich Hospital website, www.greenhosp.org. This richly detailed website is loaded with valuable information. You'll find everything from directions and visiting hours to details about all the medical services and staff physicians, including doctor's credentials and office locations. You'll also find listings of community healthcare events, support groups, and much, much more. Whether you're planning a hospital visit or just want to be a more informed healthcare consumer, the place to start is Greenwich Hospital's website. Find it at www.greenhosp.org. That's www.greenhosp.org. Check it out today and get wise about health.
.9/11 here on 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com anywhere. I'm Tony Savino. Next week on Spotlight on Medicine, it's Family Fun, the Teddy Bear Clinic, with Pat Basciano, registered nurse, and Vera Lacursi. They'll be in next Thursday to talk about the Teddy Bear Clinic. But my guest this morning is Dr. Chala Voro, internist at Greenwich Hospital. We're talking meditation and health. And next Wednesday, September 26th, Dr. Vora has an event that's coming up at the Greenwich Hospital Noble Conference Center, Meditation and Health. Tell us about what you're going to be talking about that night.
I think it'll be more an extended version of this. This is more concise, and there'll be a lot of, I'll be happy to have questions, because I think there is so much interest this day and age about meditation. There's some fears, there are some myths, and I want to let everyone know that it's a very natural process. Meditation is as natural as breathing. And it is really about connecting with yourself and decluttering. It's more about unlearning than actually learning. So don't fear it. Experience it. And once, don't take me by my word at all. Experience it yourself. And if you find the benefit, pass the torch on to someone else. The whole principle is educate, engage, and empower.
Okay, so the event's next Wednesday, September 26th, 6 to 7 p.m., Greenwich Hospital Noble Conference Center. To register, call 888-305-9253 or visit Greenwich Hospital's website. That's greenwichhospital.org/events, and it's free. That's
absolutely
the biggest thing. Next Wednesday, September 26th. And speaking of that, when you speak to patients, because when you talked about somebody comes to you, high blood pressure and so forth, how receptive are they to the idea of meditation? Is that part of maybe a stumbling block that has to be overcome?
You know, I don't look at it that way. I think my job is to just inform and trust patients' intelligence, their loving kindness, which is inherent to them. And some people are initially hesitant, but I tell them to experience it themselves. Just as I said, don't take my word for it. Experience it for themselves, and they do. And the whole idea is to open their minds. How they go about it, what they do, it's up to them. So really, it's about education.
All right.
And a lot of people this day and age are actually, I'm very lucky, they're very engaged with it.
Mm-hmm. I had a great saying I heard years ago was, the mind is like a parachute. It only works when it's open.
That's right.
But if I were at the event, the question I would ask you is, how do you meditate?
Okay. So there are different ways to go about it. There's the first part, and the easier part is mindfulness, where you actively bring your focus to the present moment. And it could be micro meditations or micro mindfulness practices, like you're going into a patient's room, I take two deep breaths just to make sure that I'm not carrying the energy of my previous patient. I'm going room to room. I'm in the present moment, and what is in front of me will get all my attention. Similarly, say you're eating food. Sometimes we don't even remember what we ate. So take your time and chew the food and experience the pleasure of it rather than just shoving it. You know, a lot of cultures actually sit down and eat. If you stand and eat, they'll say, no, it won't digest. I remember traveling in China and I was like, oh, let's go. I told my guide and I'm eating. She says, no, this won't digest. You sit down. It made me realize that's correct. That's how I grew up too. So, But that it's micro small ways to meditate. It could be walking. Some people jog and run, but be in the present moment. So if you go out and you're walking and running, don't put the music on, news. Just be there. Hear the birds. Feel the wind on you. Oh, look at the sunlight, you know. So those are the ways to do it. Creative pursuits. It could be a poem. It could be something you write. Read a poem. I'm a fan of Rumi's poems. Read one single line or two verse or a couplet and reflect on it. What is it it's going to say? So there's so many ways. And my passion is photography. And, you know, when I'm photographing like 5 a.m, I was in Patagonia and I'm trying to photograph Milky Way. And it's like the whole, you are just a small part of this universe. And it's just such a mindful practice. And you get into a meditative phase, really. You feel you're connected to such a different consciousness.
Okay, so different than what I thought would be. You're sitting there with your eyes closed and breathing deep and all that. But what you mentioned about the patient, for example, going in. So it's letting go of what happened instead of sitting there walking into a patient saying, oh, I should have said this to the other patient. You're
right.
Second guessing and all this kind of that. That's gone. You're focusing on this patient.
Yes. And I think that makes you do a good job. You don't miss out on finer things, you know, because, again, as I said, patients are not just a matter. They are energy. There's a whole life around them. So a lot of times, you know, surprisingly, they become my teachers. I often ask questions like, so what matters to you at the moment? And a person told me that her 12-year-old daughter, I said, tell me something about her. She says, I'm so proud of her. She's so kind and so non-judgmental. But at the same time, if somebody else is not kind to her in return, she actually lets it roll off her back so easily. You know what? That was a bigger lesson for me. That 12-year-old daughter of her became my teacher that day. So it is not just one way. I think all of this process of evolution as us as human is a two-way street. And that could be teachers come in different forms. It could be a book. It could be you right now. It could be her right now or my patients. It's just so interesting how you evolve together. And that comes when you're mindful of the present moment. And also you go in with a healthy curiosity. Let's see what comes. That's very important. Let's see what comes. And childlike curiosity.
How can you rectify that with a type A personality? Can the two coexist?
I think it can. I think it needs practice. A lot of people, the most common question is, it's very hard for me to concentrate. The whole original word for meditation is dhyana. Dhyana means to do nothing, to observe yourself and witness yourself like a third party. So you observe your thoughts and watch it like you're watching the soap opera or television. And there's a nice saying that the best way to tame a wild cow is to let it run free. You know, it'll keep running, and then it gets tired, and you find that stillness within you. You can't control. You have to learn to let go. And surrender is actually a beautiful thing. A lot of times it's taken with a very negative thought process that you give up. Surrender is not giving up. Surrender is knowing that what you want will come to you.
It's interesting. Just thinking about this, can this be used to help somebody with ADHD or autism or things like that, where maybe concentration is a problem?
Absolutely. I think there are actually studies showing help with this, lot of mental health conditions, except for some severe psychosis or schizophrenia or diseases like that, where you need help from your mental health provider. But this is so easily done. Anyone can do it. I think a lot of schools are actually implementing meditation for the kids, because the organic chemistry I learned in my high school, I don't remember. But had I learned meditation, that would be a lifelong tool. Mm-hmm. So I think it's wonderful. I mean, people who are in confinement, they are also given these tools to help them evolve and find a higher purpose. I think that is very important. We are so focused on adding years to life. It's important to add life to years.
Oh. Love those kinds of sayings. All right, good. We're going to take a break with Dr. Chola Vora, internist, Greenwich Hospital. We're talking meditation and health. I'm Tony Savino. This is Spotlight on Medicine on 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com, anywhere. We'll be back with more after this.
You make lots of important decisions for your family. But when it comes to health care, there's nothing more important than the doctors that you choose. So how do you make the right decision? Here's a tip. Check out the doctor's credentials and make sure they're from respected medical schools. And here's another tip. Look for a doctor who's affiliated with a truly fine hospital, like Greenwich Hospital. Greenwich Hospital is consistently rated in the top 1% nationwide for patient satisfaction. It has a broad array of specialties, from excellent women's services and breast care to pediatrics, orthopedics, extensive cancer care, and much more. Greenwich Hospital physicians meet the highest standards for healthcare excellence. For a referral to a Greenwich Hospital physician, call 203-863-3627. That's 203-863-3627. Greenwich Hospital, for the quality care you and your family deserve.
921 here in 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com, anywhere. This is Spotlight in Medicine. I'm Tony Savino. Here for about another 10 minutes, then we'll turn things over. We've got Dan's Life at the bottom of the hour. And then it's the Warren Ballantyne Show, followed by Debbie Nigro at 10. And Anything Goes with Kim and Meredith at 11. We're talking meditation and health with Dr. Chola Vora, internist, Greenwich Hospital, and she's going to be giving an event. If you'd like to go see this free event at Greenwich Hospital's Noble Conference Center next Wednesday, September 26th, it's from 6 to 7 p.m. Again, more of what we're talking about here, meditation and health. You can call 888-305-9253 to register or go to greenwichhospital.org/events. And again, the event is free next Wednesday, the 26th, from 6 until 7. All right. People will tell you, I'm sure they don't have time, they can't concentrate. How do you overcome those obstacles?
So regarding the time, I think look at meditation and mindfulness as mental hygiene. We make time for brushing teeth, showering. So this is as natural, or that it should be as much a part of your life as this. Besides, you know, think about it. People wake up, first thing, the alarm goes, there's a garish blue light, and we are inundated with information and going on 5 different social medias, collecting information which does not really benefit you. Instead, why don't we use that 5 minutes in checking with yourself and with loving kindness and seeing what arises? What do I need today? How do I, you know, go through the day in a way that is productive and which is in alignment of the highest purpose of my life?
Is it a good idea to do this the same time every day?
There is no, you know, all these rules and regulations, there's nothing like that. Essentially, whatever works for you. Whatever time works for you, you can have 5 minutes, you can have 10 minutes. The way I started was I did continuously every day for 42 days or 6 weeks. They say when you do something for 6 weeks, it becomes a habit. So I have this brown chair and I sit in that. And sometimes it was 5 minutes, sometimes it was 45 minutes. At the end of 6 weeks, when I come home and I look at that chair, it's like coming back to a loved one. And it's like somebody hugging you and you are, and it's available anytime. Mm-hmm. So you really can do anytime. There are no hard and fast rules to this.
Okay. You don't have young kids then, right?
No.
How can someone start a mindfulness practice?
So, you know, I would like to touch base, Tony, on one other question that is very common is, I can't concentrate. And what I would like to say is, I would just like to tell this story. A disciple asks his teacher, "Teacher, I can't concentrate. How hard is it to do it?" The teacher laughs and says, "Oh, it is harder than making the sun rise." So the student says, "What? Then why even do it?" He says, "Son, so when the sun actually rises, you're awake. The point is, keep practicing. Do not go by, have a loving kindness." Again, I can't use this word often. Be kind to yourself and let things go and observe what arises.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, I just wanted to touch base on that issue, because I think everyone thinks meditation is about concentration. It's not. It's really about just being there, being your, and connecting to your real self.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And go ahead.
No, about the mindfulness practice.
Yeah. One of the important things is when you start the practice, set an intention. 3 things. For next 10 minutes, say suppose you're meditating for 10 minutes. For next 10 minutes, I don't want anything. For next 10 minutes, I will not do anything. And for next 10 minutes, I am nothing. Just let the whole idea of ego go. And just be. That when we were born, there was no complications like, oh, I'm female, I'm physician, I'm 5'4", I'm Indian origin, I'm American. None of this. I'm a soul. And once you understand that, you know, your basic needs, any human you connect with is the same. You are part of the bigger picture. It becomes so much easier to even relate to people. People who have difficulty with loneliness, they feel much more part of the community, and builds resilience. Mm-hmm. So set an intention, start in small amount. A lot of times people say, oh, 30 minutes, 2 times a day. It's hard. You know, people have lives. It's busy, as you say, young kids. But take small amounts. And I think if young kids are around, it's a good thing, because parenting is not about preaching. It's about practicing. You turn into your parents. They look at you and say, oh, what is that? And eventually, as they grow up, along with your Thanksgiving recipes, these habits will also go along. And it is going to several different generations after you. So you're not making just difference to yourself. You're making difference 4 generations down. Mm-hmm. So these are very powerful tools. Try out different ways. There are guided meditation, mantra chanting, body scanning, different ways. You can even use apps. We all have phones. Going on a train, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever time you have, plug it in, be out, zone out, try it, see what works for you. And there is no hard and fast rule. What works for you may not work for me, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Do it continuously, as I said, for 6 weeks. Don't get caught up in how. A lot of times, you know, I like this app better than that app. It's not about the tool. We shower every day, but we don't walk around with the soap. You know, so it's essentially the same thing. Don't focus on the tool. When your mind wanders, come back gently. That's part, it is what makes you human. The whole idea is your mind will wander. Accept it. And also, don't go in with a calculated thing of, will I get better? You know, I did it for 5 weeks and I'm still not benefiting from this, or my sleep is... It's a slow process. So trust it, believe it, and have faith in it. Don't worry too much about clearing your head. Be the witness. Have healthy curiosity. Find a community. That's another thing. You know, the people who do it together. There's something to be said about communal energy. Like, look at all the different cultures. We always have festivals or things where people come together and do things together. There is a collective energy to that. And I think that's wonderful. Read books which are going to, you know, give you ideas about or help you transcend and find a spiritual hook of some sort. And again, as I say, don't believe in anything I say. Experience it yourself.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the word transcend. What is transcendental meditation then?
I think, you know, it's a kind of meditation that people practice. The idea is you are transcending your, again, as I said, you lose the whole identity thing as, you know, who am I? And you are more of an energy rather than just the matter. You are more an energy. Once you connect with that thought that you're a very small part of a bigger picture. You know, there are yogis and teachers who in past times who used to be able to speak whatever language they chose. And that's because when you are connected or plugged into the supercomputer or the super energy, you really can access whatever you choose to. Now, you can believe it or you don't. But the idea is, you know, if you can experience a different part of your consciousness where you have, like, intuition, you know, it comes from that. Like, you look at all the big guys, Tesla or Einstein, they had their theories come to them in a flash. And I think when you're in tune with who you are and your purpose and what your path is, things just come from within. You really have all the answers. It's a matter of decluttering. There's no reason to go outside to learn. All the knowledge you need is within you. You are extremely intelligent.
So you do believe that anybody can do this, that some people are not more, have more of a gift or more tuned to doing it than others?
It's a practice. You have to wait for your sun to rise. You keep practicing, keep practicing, keep practicing. That's all you can do.
Okay. What about yoga? Is yoga part of this?
Yes. So yoga is more part of, it's a combination of physical aspect of meditation as well. When you have certain postures, you are aligning with a certain universal geometry. And the belief is, you know, just the way your parasympathetic, sympathetic system works, the hormonal system works, they are all ductless glands. And you're aligning into a certain geometry. And when you hold your mind in that present moment or in that posture, you're essentially doing mindful practice.
Mm-hmm.
So yoga is essentially, or it's called yoga in West, but the original word is yoga, is essentially, you know, combination or alignment of your mind, body, and soul. So absolutely, it's useful. But again, you don't have to have strange postures and things like that to meditate.
Okay.
You can sit in your favorite chair and be there.
Strange smells and sounds and everything else.
Absolutely.
All right. And if you want to hear more about this, Dr. Avora will be at Greenwich Hospital's Noble Conference Center next Wednesday, September 26th from 6 to 7 p.m., Meditation and Health. It's free, but would like you to register. Call 888-305-9253 or go to greenwichhospital.org/events. And again, next Wednesday, September 26, 6 to 7, Greenwich Hospital Noble Conference Center. My guest has been Dr. Chawla Avora, internist, Greenwich Hospital. Dr. Avora, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you so
appreciate
much
it.
For having me.
Great.
I really enjoyed talking to you.
You did a good job. First time around.
Thanks.
Right.
Bye.
Good. Looking forward to having you back. And that does it for another edition of Spotlight on Medicine. Next week on Spotlight, Family Fun, the Teddy Bear Clinic with registered nurse Patricia Bassiano and Vera Licursi. I'm Tony Savino. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned. Dan's Life and then the Warren Ballantyne Show coming up on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.